Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Nothing tastes as good as a cup of the hanging tea. Ah.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian arts and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guest.
Hi, hello, hello. This is Robert Bain coming to you with another podcast. Well, today we will continue the second part of my conversation with Akitha Carey. But before we get into that, I would like to share some information with you. There's some things happening in a few months. Well, not a few months, but right down the road. The Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project, that is a project that was established to support performing arts education in the Bahamas by developing and promoting youth programs, scholarship, research, K-12 standard curriculum development, and advocacy work. Well, they are presenting the a dance forum, dance educators forum this year in Nassau. And it'll be hosted by the University of the Bahamas. This four-day event will include some interesting things like some site visits to cultural youth programs, panel discussions, and workshop on integrating performing arts into the classroom. Very interesting. And then they have a couple of guest persons coming in. You can go to their Facebook page and get additional information. The second thing I wanted to bring to your attention is that there is something happening down in Grand Bahama. And this is April 28th and 29th. And then again on April 30th. It's the Georgia School of Dance and Theater down there in Grand Bahama. And they're presenting an original Bahamian production called A Bahamian Tale. The cost of the production is $35. So if you are in Grand Bahama on those dates, April 28th, 29th at 8 p.m. and April 30th at 4 p.m., if you are in Grand Bahama, please go and support. And the next thing is we have the National Dance Company will be presenting its concert. It's in recognition of the 50th year of the Bahamian independence and the 31st year of the National Dance Company at the University of the Bahamas. It begins on May 24th through the 27th. And so you will get some information in that regard shortly. So let us now go to our program. Let's listen to the conversation between Akitha Carey and myself, recorded on April 1st. I am very, very, very proud of you. I sometimes get the opportunity to see some of the stuff that you are doing in, interesting. Okay, I understand. I understand exactly where you're coming from. I don't know. I mean, we need more persons like you. People, you should be encouraged to really take part in the development of the dance in this country. But first of all, that people's knowledge of it is very limited. They just don't care. And so, you know, I say to the dancers, and I try to do this, and I say, listen, if you really, really, really want to do this thing, if you really, really, really want to create that bigger picture, there's some people you have to forget. Because you have to forget them. And number one, I always say this, and they're going to say, well, I'm bashing politicians. But the politicians are number one, because we always think, and part of that conditioning, that social conditioning that we suffer from here is that we've always believed that we have to go to the politicians for our help, or this one for our help and that would help. Our help is, it's right here. It's right here. And we just have to be prepared to get off our behinds and just go and do the work. And so it doesn't happen. We don't do the work, but we stay and we complain. We complain, we complain. We go, we're disappointed. They throw it back in our face. We complain. A lot of the dancers here, a lot of persons here, I mean, it should be an honor to have you come and speak. You don't want to hear me talk. Akitha speaks very well. Akitha is now studying. There are persons like yourself. There's Courtney. Well, I don't know who else. A lot of the people that I used to know that dance, they're no longer, they're not dancing anymore, or, you know, they're not anywhere, any place where they are visible. But I am honored to be really talking to you right now, because I you're in profiles, you're in my book, you're one of those persons, and just the knowledge, or the refusal to accept knowledge, or the refusal to just the laziness of just wanting to go and acquire knowledge, it gets to my behind. And you are one of the few persons that when I said, I'm doing this book, I need some information, you are one of those persons that came forth. There are persons that I ask, persons who've been dancing and teaching dance in this country for years, who are not in my book. And why are they not in the book? Damn laziness. Because they don't want to take the time to write the information so that somebody in the future can have this information. Mm-hmm. Right there, that says a lot to me about their level of education, their level of exposure, the level of interest in the dance, their level of wanting to make the dance a better place. That beyond the stage, beyond there's something else. There's education. There's the link that we have with Africa. There are things that are not. We are not British people, but colonialization have done a dirty work to us. Mm-hmm. All right, you know, they, like most countries, they come in, they colonialize, and then they leave it. Yep. And people can't. They don't know heads, tails, whatever. How many people I hear say, well, the country was better when it was this way, it was better, it was that way. But have you ever thought that at some point in time there were going to be some educated Bahamians that have traveled the world, that have performed everywhere? I mean, come on, man, right? And so I am pleased. I'm very happy what you're doing. I follow you. And whenever you post something, I'm always pleased with you and the young ladies that I see. And I want to encourage you to continue. And hopefully at some point in time, they're going to get it here, and they're going to realize your value and your worth. I had a similar experience. You know, you talk about a person's asking you to stop dancing. I had a similar thing. I remember the first job I had. And I approached, it was a minister, because I needed a reference. No way, no way, buddy. You need to go do something else. Yeah, I had the ability to be a doctor or something else, but this is what I did. This was my passion. I worked at the phone company. I did a lot of things, but this is where I'm at right now. Akitha, we have a lot to say, but I'm enjoying having this, hearing you. Like I said, with this, in this podcast, is that at the end of this podcast, we should be much more knowledgeable and smarter about something, and hopefully have an understanding. And you are not stuttering. You are being very clear, And you're saying exactly what it is, and I appreciate that so much. But tell us, let's talk a bit. Let's see if we could shift it a bit and tell us about your cardio funk.
Oh, carb funk.
Carb funk. Sorry.
Yes. So carb funk is basically a dance and fitness model. Mm-hmm. So it initially started off as the dance technique. So, you know, briefly, as I stated, you know, growing up in the Bahamas, having that cultural reference, dance hall, soca, carnival, junkanoo, all of that information was in my body. My first introduction to dance was ballet with Mr. Farrington. You know, I know he's trained many people. Mm-hmm. So those were like my references. When I moved to the United States, then I got, you know, my Western training. I have more of the Western training, got my jazz, my modern. Then I started to kind of get more into the African or African diasporic movements. So Afro-Cuban, Haitian, West African. So I had all of this movement language in my body and also the fitness element, because at that time I started like briefly kind of working out. So for me, I wanted a dance genre or a dance vocabulary that allowed me to hold on to all of that information that informed my body. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, back then, early 90s, it was, you're this dancer. It wasn't, I'm doing fusion, I'm this, I'm an Afro, blah, blah, blah. It was, I'm ballet, I'm modern, I'm jazz. So there was no model, or there really for me was no opportunity to say, I do all of these things. So, and I did not have a model that I could look at and say that's, I see myself in that movement form. So, and we talked about, you recently talked about, you know, do it for yourself. So for me, my model was, if it doesn't exist, create it. Right. So I created a movement vocabulary that supported the ways that I moved naturally.
Wine.
So,
I love,
you know,
it.
That hip wine, that rolling of the body, the mm-hmm. undulation, mm-hmm. the pointing, the flexing, the internal rotation, all of that, the ballet, the modern, the jazz, the soca, the dance hall, the Afro, all of that movement. I wanted to have a voice within the dance technique, and also holding on to these ideas about who I was as a Caribbean woman, who I was as someone who has been, you know, shamed to be moving in a very particular way. So I wanted a movement vocabulary that allowed me to be free and find my voice and autonomy. And so later on, as I, you know, graduated from my MFA program, I started teaching in the gyms to supplement my income, and also because I just loved working out. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, in terms of feminine energy, female power, you know, strength is a total body, mind, spirit, physical, all of that. So for me as a woman to feel strong mentally, my body has to match that. And so that's where the fitness element came in. So I started like teaching Zumba, but I was doing carib funk essentially. Mm. And they were like, this is different, but I like it. And so, you know, I use those classes to kind of build my platform. And so when pandemic hit, it was really, you know, a wonderful opportunity for me to fine tune, hone in on exactly like, what is it that I'm doing? What are these platforms? I was able to teach virtually because, of course, no one was going anywhere. And so that catapulted into, you know, this thing now. It's a thing. I'm wearing my Carib Funk t-shirt now. and so again, as a Bahamian, right? So I'm like, how can I bring my sensibility to my brand? So the colors that I'm using, like this is the Bahamas.
Yes.
In everything that I do, like I'm a representative of my culture. This is the flamingo. Right. So our national bird is this thing that I've kind of abstracted. So, you know, even though I feel like my country doesn't accept me and almost to the point of rejection, mm-hmm. I'm still saying I am a part of this nation. I have much to give. I feel like a lot can be learned. A lot can be established through my voice, through my lens, and through my knowledge.
Yeah, you. You know, I in a podcast I did recently, we talked about folk forms of the Bahamas, and I say there ain't none. And the reason why I say it, I mean, I think the closest to it is one aspect of it is coming in from Cat Island, where they were able to kept some of the stuff. It was Ozzie King, and they called themselves the Cat Island Mites, and they were able to retain some of the information from when they were children, and they brought it to the stage here in Nassau. I thought it was just amazing stuff. When I first saw it, it was just so fascinating, and the footwork and all that. But I know all of that. That stuff also has European influence in it. Some of the steps, the poker and the walls. It's right. But I say, at least you are brave enough to do what you're doing, and I appreciate that. But I would love to see a time when we can sit down and start to codify our dances. That's going to be passed from one generation to the next generation to the next to the next to the next. Something that's truly, that we consider truly Bahamian. Why can't we? Okay, we know of Kong style, but I know that some of the stuff that we do here represents, it reflects some of the things in the Caribbean. We are tied together. Madame Lavinia said that the Kong style resembles the Mazun in Haiti. We're connected in some amazing ways, but we have no knowledge of it. Nobody have actually done any kind of research to see.
Well, this is the thing. It's the archive, similarly to what you said about your book. And this is my thing as a researcher, which goes to my next point. You know, I created this Carrie Dad Bahamian Woman Warrior piece. Mm-hmm. And that really, I was commissioned to do that last year through the museum at FIU. So I performed it 2 weeks ago. So this is my fourth time presenting it. And for me, when I was searching for Bahamian warrior women, guess what? There are none.
I know.
So I said, being who I am, if it doesn't exist, create it. Mm-hmm. So for me, I said, okay, I'm pulling from, you know, Queen Nanny from Jamaica, the Maroons. I looked at other warrior women. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the piece, Woman King, the film Woman King had just come out as well. So that I was heavily influenced by that. So for me, when we think about mythology, when we think about history and culture and tradition, you know, I'm sure it exists, but because of the lack of documentation, there is no archive. So this is essential to, again, bringing support, viability, respect to our country, mm-hmm. in terms of arts and culture and dance, because if there's no tangible representation, it does not exist.
It doesn't exist.
So this is, you know, I created Carrie Dad. I created a narrative to support who this woman, this warrior, this mythological warrior woman is. And so now, you know what? When people go to search Bahamian warrior woman, guess what's going to come up?
Carrie Dad.
So therefore, I have now created an archive. I've created a tangible representation of what that could be for us.
Right.
So the archive is so important, which is why your book is so important, which is why when I write, I always reference who I am. I try to bring Junkanoo in it, mm-hmm. In terms of from a pedagogical, from an influential perspective. So it is there. It's in the living space.
Right. And
so but that when people research a Bahamian scholar, Bahamian dance or whatever, it comes up.
That needs to, Junkanoo,
have to be able to write about each other, cite each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this from, you know, a black or a people of color perspective. We have to cite each other. We have to write about each other. So we are represented in the archive instead of utilizing, you know, scholars that do not look like us that are primarily stealing our work. Mm-hmm. But the same goes for us in our nations. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to talk about each other, write about each other, cite each other, analyze each other's work. So it we create an archive.
Well, Akitha, this who do we reference? Who do we? I think we have the raw material is here. This one project that I'm doing is only one, and there are many more to come, because I think it's very important that we're able to reference Bahamians and do it sensibly, and do it in an educational way. Junkanoo itself, I mean, is a tapestry of so many things. The dance, I would love to see the dance defined in a certain way. You are doing it from your perspective, but I think there's more for everybody, and I would love to see it defined. I have a description in my book about Junkanoo, and when you get it, I'm not going to say anything about it, but there's a description that I made about Junkanoo, because in Junkanoo there's so many things. Junkanoo's the amazing thing about it, and I think I might have shared this with you one time ago I was having a conversation with the late Kayla Edwards, and we were talking about culture, and I said, you know, Ms. Edwards, I have this Kong salad theory, all right? And she was like, what is a Kong salad theory? I said, I have this Kong salad theory. And I said, right now, all we are is a big bowl of Kong salad. That's it, a big bowl of Kong salad with all the sweet peppers, all the onions, and all the things that you like to put in your Kong salad. This is this big bowl of Kong salad. I said, but what we haven't done, or what we need to do, is we need to take that sweet pepper out of that Kong salad, and we need to study that sweet pepper. And you will believe that you might have years and years of work on that sweet pepper. You need to take the onion out of that Kong salad, and you research that onion, and you get all this information out of that onion. You need to take whatever ingredients that's in there, and you need to research it. Junkanoo is like that. Our culture is like that. And the thing about it is that we look at it, to me, superficially, for entertainment, for appeasing somebody, giving somebody a high. I'm past that. I'm not doing that. But there's so much. There's so much. And I applaud you for doing what you're doing. And, you know, I'm always here for you. If you ever need whatever I could do to assist, but it's just so much that we can offer the world. But we have to, in some way, we have to find a way that we can tap into the minds of our people to get them to understand. Listen, I always say to people, I've had it. So I need somebody else now, the younger people who got that kind of energy, to actually be able to do that. But I will continue to try. But I applaud you for doing what you're doing, and what you're doing is the right thing. I just wish that much more persons would do it, and I remember a conversation you and I had, and you said, Mr. Bain, you know, when you type in Trinidad, Trinidad comes up at everything. When you type in this country, it comes up. Do you remember the conversation? And you go like, yeah. But when you type in the Bahamas, nothing comes up.
You're digging and digging and digging and nothing. It's depressing, it's disappointing, and it's embarrassing, honestly.
Well, we need to,
because we know that we have a rich culture, but that's not being articulated, and like you said, it's very superficial. So I'll say this this one thing. So I was watching Junkanoo, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Christmas or Boxing Day, but there was a woman who was commenting. I think she's like a big Junkanoo person. She, mm-hmm. where she has a short blonde hair. Mm-hmm. I wrote her name down because I want to talk to her. Mm-hmm. I want to interview her. And she was talking about, So this must have been Christmas when they changed, they moved the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the weather.
Right.
And she said, I don't really, care for it at this time, because when it's at night, then we're dealing with the ancestors. And so for me, she understood like this, there's an African spirituality that is embedded in this, this processional movement. There's so many things that's happening. It's called marathoning. Mm-hmm. You're going through this continuous cycle mm-hmm. of, what happens when you beat that drum, you are activating the spirits, the ancestors. Like when we talk about Junkanoo culture, mm-hmm. Where is that information? Where is that information? When this body is moving and mm-hmm. undulating, mm-hmm. you are speaking to Dambala, right? You are talking to a ancestor. You're talking to a spirit. But of course, because of Christianity, you're talking about this is a part of my culture. Mm-hmm. So now someone may be listening to this and say, oh, this is you talking about voodoo or whatever. But our ancestors, this was what they did.
Well,
they were practicing this before the colonizers
mm-hmm.
came in and imposed Christianity on
Absolutely.
Our culture.
Absolutely.
So you cannot discuss dance and music and drumming from the diaspora or from the continent without recognizing African spirituality and where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
We try to not pay attention to it. We try to pretends that it does not exist in the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
because other countries are very clear about who those entities are. And we don't do it. And it is embedded in our traditional Junkanoo performance.
Akitha, you need to go.
That's infuriating. It really is.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
You need to go to one of the podcasts. I spoke to a young man. His name is Christopher Davis. He
okay.
did one of the podcasts. He wrote a book called The Black Rinse. He now, and also he is now in Ghana.
Okay.
He was given a name of Jean Croix the second. It all began because of Junkanoo. And if you listen to the podcast, he is a very knowledgeable young man. He talks about, things that you would not think about. He talked about the plantations. He talked about how Junkanoo got here. He talked about, mm-hmm. listen to the podcast itself. It's
okay.
Christopher Davis. What else? And he talked about the cowbells and the dance and all that sort of thing. And I always believe we are almost out of time. I believe that that when the Junkanoo drums are playing, Bahamians don't understand. I think a lot of things, and I use this a lot. We do things, we're not aware of it, because I think in most Bahamians are hidden blood memories that they cannot, that they don't understand. When you hear a piece of Junkanoo music, the first day is a particular thing that every Bahamian does when they hear a piece of Junkanoo music. The body moves in a certain way, the pounding, the tapping of the floor, the thing. It says a lot of who we are. You need to read that book, and probably you might find some interesting in that, and I will connect you guys up. But Akitha, it's really great talking to you. If you wish to advertise on this program, Tea and Talk, you can reach out to me at teaandtalk2023.bahamas@gmail. That's Tea and Talk. 2023@bahamas@gmail.com. Akitha, this is amazing. I really enjoyed this. But the question that we're going to come back to this again. But the question that I normally ask my guests before I conclude my programs is, what is Bahamian?
What is Bahamian? That is a question that I have been asking for years. What is Bahamian identity? You know, we say Jhonkanoo, we say, you know, the culture, the sand, the sea. For me, because I have this dual relationship with the U.S. and the Bahamas, mm-hmm. I, you know, try to ask myself that, you know, who I am as a Bahamian, like, what does that mean to me? And I think about, you know, the language, I think about obviously the food, I think about the ways that we, like, we physically respond to each other. So because I'm a mover, I think kinesthetically. So for me, I think about the ways our bodies interact when we are in particular spaces. I think about regatta. I think about, you know, Jhonkanoo, these, you know, particular elements of our culture where people come together and the bodies are engaging. So that is very important to me because I read bodies. And so I think about the language that the body is speaking. And that for me is how I identify Bahamian or how I identify as a Bahamian.
That's awesome. Akitha, I want to thank you for taking your Saturday you know, having this conversation with me. But I would like to do this again because, like I say, you know, I mean, today I'm a little smarter. And I want to invite you to come back again. And I want to let you know that I appreciate your efforts and everything that you are trying to do, to get us out there. So people understand too that we have a culture too, and we're smart too. I think that Bahamians are the smartest people in the whole world. I mean, you know, I say that, you know, but I say that with a lot of love and really and truly, I'm a Bahamian and I believe that, you know, we are creative, but I think there's so much more that we need to understand ourselves, and we have to be prepared, not be afraid to dig into ourselves and to really, really, truly discover who we really are. Because I think we possess something that's so special. But I want to thank you, and we'll do this soon. And thank you for coming on Tea and Talk. And boy,
thank you for having me.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Well, and you're listening.
I'm sure I stepped on some toes.
That's all right. That's all right.
But that's who I am.
Well, I knew it, and I said, you know, I'm having Akitha on the podcast, and I'm going like, and this is, I know how she goes, and she have a way. So this is what needs to be heard. This ain't nothing that we need to hide. That's, I just said, we need to dig in. We need the thing that we're afraid of the most. We need to face it. We have to face it. Yeah. You know, that's everybody. You're listening to Tea and Talk. You're listening to the podcast Tea and Talk.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.